I see two people dressed colourfully, dressed in shorts with red trainers and a hat that I have no idea where that comes from. That's the gentleman. It looks almost Tibetan or Sudanese in itself. Where's your hat from?
It's actually from a designer called Jula Reindel. It's a, especially for me, actually for a performance that we did.
Really? So yeah. it's a unique hat, it's a unique designed hat. For you. You're yeah. a performer from, don't tell me, Sweden.
Very good, yes. That's true.
That's because you did tell me a few minutes ago. Both of you, you're from Sweden as well?
Yes.
And what are you guys doing here?
What we're doing right now here or in general?
Not in England, no. More in the roundhouse.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure you're here legally.
Yes. I will tell you the background maybe first, because I've been listening to Long Player in our flat for many hours and quite many days before. And the reason is because we are artists, and sometimes, like, when being freelance and having to work at home, it does create a sense of it changes the experience of you have of space and time, and makes the brain think easier. It's been more almost like to be able to think much more clearly, and it's less claustrophobic as well when you listen to the sounds, and it makes also the walls somehow appear less solid. So it's some kind of creating some kind of space within the brain, which then kind of can help to inspire. But it's really different to now, the experience live. It's really much more kinesthetic and yes. more bodily.
Yes, somebody, yeah. a girl I just interviewed, Rose Murray, she said it was very physical. Yeah. It's interesting what you say as well. I remember talking to an artist who was selling Tibetan bowls. Tibetan singing bowls at the Lama Tree Festival, and he was telling me that when he played his own bowl, it allowed him to feel as if he was slowing down time, and his focus and his concentration became so much more clearer when he was putting brush to canvas. Are you experiencing the same kind of thing in your art?
There is definitely a connection with the experience you have going into this, in the room or in the building of the roundhouse, to what it might feel going into one of our performances.
What exactly do you do?
We do performances where visitors, either one person at a time or groups, enter quite often dark spaces. So you don't see anything. So you have cancelled out your vision and have to rely on your other senses. And equipped with an audio guide or a pair of headphones, sound isolating headphones, you get instructions how to navigate this space. It's very a choreographic type of performance where movement and touch from unseen other guides in the room is kind of orchestrating the experience of these visitors that enter this space.
Sounds like the visitors have to be very, very trusting to let you become the puppet master.
It is definitely, you have to trust the institution that you come to, and you have to also trust the people that leads you into this space completely.
And what's the name of this?
Our name is Lundahl & Seitel. This is the name we work under.
How do you spell that? Have you got a website or anything?
Yeah. It's www.lundahl-seitel.com.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So there's been quite an eclectic mix of people actually here, not just artists, some musicians, and it appears some people straight off the street as well. Do you think everybody's getting something different out of this?
Yeah, I mean, I can't kind of enter other people's body, really, but there is, when you spend some time in that room, you do have a feeling when people kind of tune in. I just watched a dad and his maybe six-year-old daughter sleeping or half-sleeping in his lap, and there was kind of this really, I don't know, it was beautiful to observe people there as well, but it's interesting what it, I think it really does something physically to the body. I'm a dancer, or not a dancer, but I used to be, like, I worked a lot with the body as a background, and I feel like after a while, like, there is less and less of a filter in between you and the music. So it's more like your own. This vibration is in the teeth. Now I feel completely like a ball, and it's very like I feel a lot of spheres, forms coming up, and then one sphere was I experienced as in the hips, and then one was kind of below the ground, and then I'm very curious about the whole shape of it, because it I experienced of sitting almost within a hollow donut, where there is an in the middle. There is an empty space, and I'm very curious, how would it feel like standing in that middle, in kind of in the body? But I felt I was sitting kind of in the... This is the donut. It was...
It's audio. Your hand gestures are a bit difficult to come across. So you're sitting in a huge hollow donut.
Yeah, I think so. And but it's a mystery to me, but that was one of the experiences I had.
It's interesting. I've heard cases of people talking about experimenting with Salvia divinorum, which is a legal herb, I guess. It's a plant, and people smoke it. And they say, some people say, it gives physical attributes and visual attributes to sound. And what you're explaining there, you're sat inside this hollow donut. Maybe this is something to do with the resonance and the frequencies, because there is so many sounds coming out of that room today, just like this door closing and slamming behind us again, that we must be hitting upon, and this is going to sound quite hippie-ish, isn't it? Resonance, which are totally in tune with ourselves, because I think, well, obviously the military is aware that we vibrate at different frequencies, and they're very keen to find the sound that makes you poo yourself instantly. Brown noise, I believe that is called. Probably coincidentally, I don't know. But there is also sounds that bring pain, sounds that bring pleasure.
Well, like it changes the brain waves. There's nothing new about that anyway. Scientists have been for years dealing with like sounds that changes the brain waves down to like alpha, beta, gamma, delta brain waves. But I think you're right, and there's... Yeah, I'm very curious about how he created. I mean, I read somewhere he kind of was thinking about time for 40 years before, but
yeah. That is a long time.
Yes, a long time. Yeah.
Longer than I've been around. So you're making notes while we're talking. Is this to kind of put into, to remember for later? Are you just a diary of the moment? You've made a lot of notes.
It is from the talks, the seminars, yeah. Well, no, it's just...
Are there any particular ideas that you heard here and here only that you might be taking away with you?
It's a lot. It's a lot of things, and I think I have to digest a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's an extremely interesting... place for conversations between different disciplines, and I think that happens far too rarely.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's going to be a few nights sleep needed before some of the concepts and questions may even get answered subconsciously from all the bits and bobs that are happening here today. Yeah. What's in your notebook?
Yeah, so this is, I think... One thing that came up was also the motion of rotation. So I had some images of light rotating. It just kind of came up like very quickly. You know when you're kind of just relaxing and you have those kind of words and things coming up. So instead of words for me, that would be images just naturally just coming up. It does that to anyone. But then after a while, it would kind of be less and less verbal. Not verbal. It's not verbal, but less and less kind of... And then it would become more, I don't know, and also kind of going down to the seminars after being in the long play is a really different, because you start almost to kind of, your perception changed and you come out to this world and everyone seems to move much more quickly, or there's a different, completely different rhythm, and you experience like the difference in between things. Like in there it's more like the whole kind of collected container, and you come up and you have like... different directions, and that experience.
Do you think that's right? Because it's very, very circular, very, it's almost this clock-like structure. Could you see this instrument being anywhere else? It seems to be perfect here.
I think it feels at the moment, what I feel, I don't question the placement of it. And, yeah, of course, it could be somewhere...
I'd like to see it in an amphitheatre. I'd like to see it in somewhere designed for sound historically, somewhere that was designed not to have any type of amplification other than its own structure, because obviously there wasn't any artificial amplification. I think that would be quite incredible to have people just sitting around this naturally amplified Tibetan bowls on their own, because if it's good enough for the Tibetan monks who obviously use these sounds originally for, in their own words, opening gateways to other dimensions in their minds, then...
You know, I have a feeling as well, like it would be so perfect in nature, because you become aware of the the sun plays a strong part in this piece, like the movement of the sun, then how it's kind of sometimes it lights up, and like it kind of doesn't feel like an addition to the work, it's kind of part of it. And I feel outside in nature, there would be I would like to love to see and listen how that would feel.
You're making me wish that I set a camera up outside, because I've got a few photographs of the sun as it's passed through on the inside and the changing of the light. But to be honest, to have some time-lapse photography or time-lapse video of the roundhouse itself as the sun has gone around the building, it would have fit so well with this. Just the passage of time. Time is warped in here. I've been sitting there. I cannot believe I got here at 8 a.m. I feel like I've only been here a couple of hours. It's 5 p.m. and I'm still talking. Maybe I should go and have a drink. I don't know.
Go and have a drink.
What are your guys' names?
My name is Krista Lundahl.
And Martina Seidel.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.